Well, good morning and welcome to Christian Baptist Church this fine Sunday morning. It's getting quite warm now. Pentecost Sunday, a great day of celebration for the church. A couple of announcements. Downstairs on the table you will find an 8.5 by 11 booklet with our Constitution and Statement of Faith. Both documents have been put into one document, and they're there, one per family, please. That tells us two things. It tells us what we believe, what all the members of this church have signed up to in terms of a belief statement, a statement of faith, and how we work together, how we have constructed ourselves as a congregation to work together for the kingdom work. So do please pick up a copy of that booklet. I have another wonderful announcement to make. We have two world champions. We have two young ladies in our congregation who are the Peterborough Women's Dragon Boat Champions. They won both their races yesterday, Rhianna and Laura.
Told you we could have won our medals.
Should be down later.
Yeah, we'll be downstairs for autographs.
And we have two baptisms today.
I think that's far more exciting.
Yes, it is. Just in sense of the birthday of the church, two more people who have made the decision to follow the command of Scripture to be baptized. So it's going to be a wonderful service today. So we'll ask the praise team to now come and lead us in worship.
Morning. So today is Pentecost. So you're going to hear some scripture that you're probably going to hear again later. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Let's stand this morning. We are going to start by singing Holy Spirit. And this morning, as we celebrate Pentecost, let's really feel the Holy Spirit's presence among us today, as it is a special day with our baptisms and it's finally summer. God's Spirit transformed the lives of the disciples and changed the world. And so as we gather, we pray that same Spirit to be poured out on us. The Holy Spirit is a fire, consuming our selfishness, our hatred, and our indifference, filling our lives with new life and the light of God. Filled with the Holy Spirit, our lives bear fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Like the beacon of a lighthouse, may the fruit of the Spirit shine and outshine in our lives. The Holy Spirit never leaves us where we are. We are sent by the Spirit out into the world to be the salt of the earth, to show God's love to all the people, to bring God's Spirit of joy into the world. Gracious God, pour your Spirit into each of us, into each of our hearts, that we would worship you today with all of our hearts, that our lives would be transformed by your power, and that we would carry your joy from this place into all the world. To you we give our honor and our praise today, through Jesus Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
Yeah, please be seated. I'm going to ask our ushers now to come and take up our tithes and offerings. Would you stand, please? Indeed, Lord, that is our prayer, that you will come and fill us today with your Holy Spirit. Lord, as our act of worship today, we give to you these, our tithes and our offerings. Lord, we return to you from a portion of what you've given us, that you have blessed us with. Lord, we pray that you will multiply these. Show us how to use them wisely for your kingdom work here in Newmarket and beyond. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Are there any children here?
Just a few, eh? Come on, Reed. Come on, Kate. So, anybody have a birthday this year? Anybody have a birthday this year? Oh, pretty much everybody. Wonderful. I've stopped having them. Not having any more. Yeah, so today is a very special birthday. It's the birthday of the church. This is the day called Pentecost, when the world really, really changed. You should know this, right? It's the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came and our lives were changed. All right, we have the opportunity to have changed lives. And every one of us has received Jesus, who believes in Jesus. Do you believe in Jesus? You do. Do you pray for Jesus? Yep. Every one of us who has received Jesus, our Savior, has the Holy Spirit. And it's in the power of the Holy Spirit that we're able to be good boys and girls. Most of the time. Some of the time. Right? It's the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to live our lives honoring God. So I'm going to pray for you now as you go downstairs to the Sunday school. Let me pray. Father, Lord, I give you thanks for these children, Lord, these young people. Lord, I just pray that your Spirit will touch their hearts, Lord, and guide their steps each and every day of their lives. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's just stay there for a second, in that moment. Just rest. Just your mind and your worries and your anxiousness from whatever troubles you might have this week. Just pray that the Word of God would speak to you today in whatever form that is.
Probably notice a little change of the order of the service today. We're moving to the message now, and prayer will follow as we prepare for the baptisms. The last few weeks we've been using the word the way. The Christians, the early Christians, earlier followers of Jesus, were called followers of the way. That reference, followers of the way, is five times in the New Testament. But the word Christian is only three times in the New Testament, and it's an undefined word. But followers of the way was more meaningful. And we ask ourselves the question, what does it mean when Jesus says, I am the way? And we call ourselves followers of Jesus. What does all that mean? And we looked at various different ways, if you like. The first one we looked at was the obedient way of following Jesus. John 8:31 says, to the Jews who believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. So if we hold to Jesus' teaching, if we're obedient to the teachings of Christ, we are really his disciples. We talked about the narrow way, the word meaning constricted or restrained. And we constrain ourselves to following biblical paths, not the world's paths. In Matthew 7, Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. And last week we talked about the opposite way. When we feel like we're swimming upstream, when we're going against the flow, we're probably going in the right direction. Because the world and its values and its ways are heading towards destruction, and the Christian seems to find himself or herself going against the culture, against the way, perhaps going against family's views as well, and friends. Romans 12 tells us not to be conformed, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So we want to be obedient, and we want to follow the narrow way, and we find ourselves going against the flow. How do we do that? We have no inner human strength to do that. It's impossible in our natural self to really be obedient to the word of God and to go against the flow and the tide that's around us. We need some help. We need outside help. Jesus knew this about us, and he knew this about his disciples. And so he says to them in John 14, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And John 14, 26, he says, but the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. And this word in the Greek is parakletos, translated as counselor or comforter, but it's a teacher. The word means someone who's called alongside, someone who appears on someone else's behalf, an advocate, a mediator, an intercessor, a helper. And who doesn't need one of those in this life? If we're swimming against the flow, we're trying to be obedient, we're constraining the way we live to meet God's way and not the world's way, we need all the help we can get. And this is the Holy Spirit. As Jesus is God in the flesh, the Holy Spirit is God in the Spirit. We have our counselor in the Holy Spirit. It was when Jesus was about to leave earth after the resurrection, he was going to leave the disciples behind, and they still at this time, very close to the end of their time with Jesus, they still had no grasp of what was really going on. And they certainly had no grasp or idea or inkling of what was coming next. And in Acts 1, we read Jesus speaking with his disciples, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Wait for the gift, Jesus said. And so they waited, not knowing who or what this gift was. You know, think back, if you read the Gospels, even the beginning of Acts, the very beginning of Acts, they didn't know what was going on. And so we come to that chapter, that pivotal chapter in the book of Acts, right at the very beginning. Acts chapter 2. Thank you, Rihanna, for reading part of that this morning. Okay. This is where the world changed. This is where the kingdom of heaven really broke in and started its march towards the redemption of the world. So we're in Acts 2, verses 1 to 12. Lord, bless the reading of your word on this very special day. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there will stand in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" What does it mean? When Jesus said, "You will receive power," they had no idea what that power was, nor how it would manifest. Most of the disciples were just simple guys, simple men. They weren't given to much education. Some were fishermen. There was a tax collector in there too. A couple of zealots, like men who take up arms. They weren't special people at all. There were no more special than any 12 random people picked out of this congregation. They were just ordinary people. They probably only spoke Aramaic, the local dialect. Yet on this day of Pentecost, something happened. They were so emboldened that they stood up to face the same crowd that only a few weeks earlier had called for the execution of their friend and their leader, Jesus. Just a little side note about what Pentecost was. It was a Jewish festival of the harvest, the first fruits. But it was also commemorated on 50 days after, Pentecost means 50, 50th day, we're now 50 days after Easter. And it was celebrated because 50 days after the Exodus, the first Passover, the Jews were given the law on Mount Sinai. God gave Moses the law on Mount Sinai. So they always celebrated 50 days after Passover, the celebrating of the giving of the law. Isn't it very appropriate then that God should choose this day, this Jewish festival of the giving of the law, to overshadow the law by the giving of his grace? By the giving of his Spirit. Because we don't live under the law. We live under grace. We live under his Spirit. We live empowered by the Spirit, not held back by the law. We have that freedom. He outpoured himself in spirit with the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the apostles and disciples. And he demonstrated this gift in a very powerful way. The word power there is dunamis, the Greek word dunamis. That's where we get our word dynamite from, and where we get our word dynamic from. It's that kind of power, explosive power. It's the power to act. It's the strength to act in a particular way. It's a miraculous kind of power. It's supernatural. It's not of ourselves. It's of the Spirit within us. The disciples had no power to do anything until the power of the Holy Spirit was unleashed inside them. Any fear now of the Jews and the Roman authorities was banished. They became that day and remained throughout their lives fearless of human power because they had supernatural power. They were changed men. And so it is with us. In order to be obedient and constrained in the narrow way, in order to swim upstream, opposite direction to the world around us, it's not possible without this power of the Holy Spirit working in us and through us. And until we release the Holy Spirit's power and authority in us, until the Holy Spirit is giving free reign in our lives, we will be powerless in the kingdom of God. If we're going to rest on our own education, our own ideas, our own human strength and intelligence, we're already lost. We have to release ourselves to be used of the Holy Spirit. for his kingdom work. This day, Pentecost changed the world. God had been present in physical form in Jesus, limited by time and space. And now God in the Spirit, unlimited, unbounded power and authority given to humans. The Spirit now abides in the world. The very Spirit of God abides in the world through every person who's received Christ by faith. The kingdom of God, if you like, has arrived. Jesus used to say the kingdom of heaven is near. And I think it's fair to say at Pentecost, the kingdom of heaven has arrived. It is now here on earth. And so the church was born that day. And there will be no limit now to what men and women can do for the kingdom of God. We have power and authority to speak boldly, to tell the world we have a different point of view, and ours is biblical, ours is godly, yours is wrong. We have the power and the authority to do that. Sent out a link this week, most of you would have got it through an email, about what's happening with the church in such unusual places as Iran and Afghanistan. It's exploding. Under intense persecution, the church is growing. Because the Spirit of God is in those people to boldly proclaim that Jesus is Lord, that Allah is a false God, that Muhammad is a false prophet, that Jesus is Lord. It takes guts to do that, but you can't do it unless you're empowered by the Holy Spirit and you know to the very heart of your being that it's the truth. And that's why the church is growing, even in the persecution of the Middle East. So Jesus had left, and these mere human beings, although no longer mere, will carry on the work that Jesus started. And in the months and the years that follow, we see the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, throughout Acts, throughout the letters of Paul, always under the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul felt driven by the Holy Spirit. In Acts 20, he says, "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem. Not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me." If someone warned you that prison and hardship were facing you, would you still feel compelled to go? It will take a supernatural power inside you to say, "I'm going anyway. I'm compelled, I'm empowered. I will go and face the dangers. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace." That's the message that we have. That's the message we have to speak into our culture today. The message of God's love and God's grace and God's forgiveness. He was compelled by the Spirit to go. But that same Spirit also blocked their path at times. They were fully under the direction and guidance of the Spirit. In Acts 16, it says in verse 6, "Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia." See, sometimes we as humans, we put our human thoughts on and say, "Oh, we're going to go over here and do this mission." No, I was blocked by the Holy Spirit. That's not what I want you to do. You made that up in your human thinking. "When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to." So as well as the Holy Spirit compelling us, go and do something that we know in our spirit, and we've been compelled to do something. There are times in our lives when the Holy Spirit says, "Don't do that. Don't go down that road. That's not where I need you to be right now. I need you to be over here." So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." So the Spirit blocked the path they were going to take, and then provided a vision to Paul of where he did want him to go. Come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So there's the Holy Spirit compelling in one area, blocking and redirecting in another. And we need to pay attention to that. We need to pay attention to the deep movement of the Spirit inside us about what is true, what does God want us to do, where does he want us to go, where does he not want us to go. We need that gift of discernment. Jesus himself was guided by the Spirit, living by a divine calendar. He did everything the way God wanted him to. Jesus knew when to speak and what to speak, and when not to give an answer. When to go and when to stay. When to stop. Right at the very beginning, at the wedding feast in Cana, when his mother said, they've run out of wine, he says, why involve me? My time is not yet. He knew to wait for the timing of God's Spirit working in his life. It would be unfolded to Jesus as the months and years went on. Can we live our lives so close to the Spirit that we too will know when to go and when to stay? What to say, when to say it, and when to bite our tongues? That's like another spiritual gift. Know when to bite your tongue. I've almost chopped mine off at times. How do we do that? Jesus has told us. See, these questions come up right as we read scripture, and before you know it, you're guided to the text that answers the question. Jesus says in John 15, remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, it must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do
nothing.
Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. We know that, don't we, from spring pruning in the garden. You cut off a few branches of your trees and bushes, and if you just leave them on the floor, you go back the next day and it's wilted. Because it has no life. It's not connected anymore. That's the way we are. When we drift away from church, when we drift away from the fellowship, when we decide, oh, I'm just too busy, I've got other things to do, we will begin to wilt. We'll begin to fall away. We can never do anything in our own power, but only as we release and allow the Holy Spirit's power in us. There's a story of when Peter and John were going to the temple, and there's a crippled man, a man who'd been crippled from birth, was at the temple gate. And he asked them for money. And Peter said, I can't give you any money, I have no gold or silver to give you. But in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. And the man did. And the beggar got up. And everybody was amazed while the beggar held on to Peter and John in Acts 3. All the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if it was by our own power and godliness we made this man walk? There's the admission right there. It's not in human power. And following a few words of rebuke to these people because of their rejection of Jesus, in Acts 3:16 he says, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. Mrs. Peter, I have to do a little backtracking. He comes to the temple and says, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk in front of the Jews, in front of the Pharisees. This is the one who denied Jesus 3 times. This is the one who drew his sword to try and kill someone in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is a changed man. How is he able to do these things now? In his own strength? No, he was changed. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he became an unstoppable power for the gospel as he took the gospel to the Jews. It's not long after that, but Peter and John are seized by the authorities for doing this healing someone. Yeah, you'll get accused of doing good things. It comes with the territory. John was seized by the authorities for doing this and creating the disturbance. They had Peter and John, Acts 4:7. They had Peter and John brought before them to begin to question them. By what power or what name do you do this? Like, how dare you? By what authority do you heal people? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people. Remember, he had to be filled with the Holy Spirit before he could talk back to the authorities this way. But he did with boldness. Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Power unleashed in a man like Peter. Godly power, Holy Spirit power. And these are bold, even confrontational words, because he goes right back at them. This Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified. That's accusatory. That's confrontational. Where do you get the power to do that? To stand up to the authorities? Only by the Holy Spirit. No point in trying that in human strength. The Spirit will give us the words, and the Spirit will give us the boldness when we're fully submitted to the Spirit. That's what today is about. That's what Pentecost is about. It's about fully submitting your life to the move of the Holy Spirit so you can speak boldly the truth wherever you are. And Acts 4:33 goes on, with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. And as we read through the book of Acts, it's the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, power, authority. The birth of the church, and the church today, 2,000 years later, is still being driven by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not where we see churches and movements driven by humans, they eventually explode or implode. Some massive failure and a lot of disillusioned people. With great power, the apostles continue to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. We need that. We need the Holy Spirit. Today is Pentecost. The Jews are still celebrating the giving of the law, and we're celebrating the giving of the Spirit. We can live the obedient life. We can walk the narrow way. We can swim upstream against the culture. And we can do it with boldness and determination in and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Ask the people who are ready for baptism, Kosame and Jeff, to go ahead and start getting ready. Lord, my prayer for our congregation and all congregations who preach your word with authority and truth. So I pray for a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit on each one of us, that we can live bold lives following Jesus. congregational prayer, and then help get ready for baptism.
Good morning. One of the neat things that's been happening in my life is that I've been involved in a small group here at Christian Baptist over the last few months, and our group has met on Wednesday evenings, and what an encouragement it is. And I just invite you in the coming months to think about getting involved in a small group next year as we reconvene, I'm sure, in September. But our group has been looking at Ephesians, and I want to just read to you a couple of passages from Ephesians as we prepare to pray together. So Ephesians 2 says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you were following the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desire and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." And this is just an amazing verse. It says, for those of us who know him, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do." Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this Sunday, this Pentecost Sunday, that we can remember the outpouring of your Spirit to the early church and the birth of the early church. And Lord, we just ask for a fresh filling of your Spirit amongst those of us who know you today and who are followers of the way. We pray, Lord, that you're a Christian Baptist, as we look to the future and the way that you have before us, that you will make us very aware that it's only by your Spirit that we go forth, Lord, and that we really can walk in the way. So we thank you for that Spirit, and we just pray that we'll keep on being filled with it. Lord, we're living in an extremely troubled time for our country, and we know that decisions are being made all around us which limit, or seem to limit, the message of Christ in our society. But Lord, help us to be bold and to be the salt and light in the society that we find ourselves in. Lord, help us to reach out to others who don't know you. We just pray that as a church, we will seek your face together in the coming months for a replacement pastor for Pastor Keith. And we thank you so much for the time he's been with us. And we thank you for the ministry that he's had, both Keith and Annette. We pray that you'll bless them in this next phase of their lives. And we ask for your guidance and your wisdom, Lord, as we look to who will lead us next in the coming months and years. Lord, we just thank you today for Farzana and Jeff, who are following you in obedience in the waters of baptism. We just pray for a special blessing on them today, Lord, and that they will be bold in their witness for you in the coming days and weeks. And Lord, we just pray that each one of us will encourage them and will love them as part of our fellowship, Lord. And we just thank you for bringing them both among us. And Lord, I just want to conclude with a prayer from Paul, which says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, for whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you may be rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, and Lord, that is at work within Christian Baptist Church, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen."
Yeah, you go.
Yes.
every day is a day for learning. So here we are, we have Pentecost Sunday, the birthday of the church, and a very traditional, if you like, day before having baptisms. Baptism is an act of obedience, following our profession of faith in Jesus Christ. We want to be obedient to his lead. And when he met with John Baptist at the Jordan, and John Baptist wanted to not baptize Jesus, he said, no, you should be baptizing me. Jesus said, no, let's do it this way for righteousness' sake, because it's the right thing to do. And so he set that humble example for each one of us. If we profess faith in Jesus Christ, it is our privilege and humble responsibility to enter into the waters of baptism following Jesus as he did. And so today we have two baptism candidates, Farzane and Jeff, and Farzane is going to come into the baptistry now and she's going to give us her testimony. Lord, Farzane is very nervous. Lord, give her strength.
Good morning. My name is Farzane here. I'm from Iran. This is a studio past restrictions to living freedom and peace. My hometown is at the center of my country. About 500 years ago, the king of Persia built Isfahan as the capital of Persia, now Iran, and dedicated south of the history for Jewish people and north of the city to Christians. Who built a beautiful church for them? There are many historic places within my hometown, Isfahan, and every time I visited the church, I had a feeling of peace, but I didn't have the freedom of choice. During last few years, after visiting many churches in Europe and Canada, I decided to convert. Since this January that I accompanied my son to Canada for studying and market and myself taking English classes at the library, I found freedom to attend this system.
Being welcomed by Pastor Patrick Staley and
friendly becomes. At different events, I'm glad to participate in baptism. I made some sweet rice pudding for you.
I want to hear this.
Again, I made some sweet rice pudding for you. I am inviting you downstairs for you to eat.
So, Fazani, have you repented of your past?
Yes.
Have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Fazani, because you have professed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and desire to follow in his ways, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
As it is written in Psalm 103, 17 and 18, but from everlasting to everlasting, the loving devotion of the Lord extends to those who fear him, and his righteousness to their children's children. The woman was my grandmother, her eldest son, the late preacher and Sunday school superintendent at his local church, was my father. I was raised in a Christian family and attended a church with my family. Grandparents, parents, aunts, uncles, and cousins. The one thing my family always instilled in me was that the Bible was the inerrant, infallible, inspired word of God, a belief that I hold to this day. At the age of 13, I took the catechism and was baptized and became a member of my church. At first, my church was led by Bible-believing Christian ministers, some of them missionaries. But as time went on, the entire denomination moved away from the Word of God. In the mid-1970s, the church was burned down by an arsonist, and the congregation dispersed to other local churches. At this time, I was attending university, and my faith was being put to the test, especially in my New Testament courses. I thank God that he kept me safe during these years. For remember one evening when I was able to sit down with Lumi Master's most renowned professors by the name of George Grant. He shared stories with me of how he and his wife, who he had met at Oxford University shortly after the Second World War, attended lectures there by C.S. Lewis. He encouraged me by saying that it was more important to know the truth than to appear clever and win debates. The Lord has always sent individuals into my life at critical moments to encourage me and move me forward in my Christian faith. After finishing university, I got a teaching position in a small private school in Scarborough, and my wife and I moved to Newmarket and raised four children. I tried out a few churches over the years, but never found one I wanted to join. I decided to try to go it alone, which of course turned out to be a mistake. I continued to read books by Christian authors such as C.S. Lewis and Malcolm Muggeridge, and they were very helpful in adding depth and a solid rational foundation to my faith. However, there was something missing, and that was fellowship with other believers. We are called upon to meet together, pray together, worship together, and bear each other's burdens. So I needed to find a Bible-believing church that preached the Word of God and did not conform to the culture. One day while at work, a man got into the elevator with me and I said that he looked familiar. He replied that he had one of those faces that looks familiar to people. I realized it was the pastor who had performed my son's wedding ceremony, a certain Keith Daly. So I summoned all my courage and attended the next Sunday service. As I sat down, I was greeted by Russ and Donna, who I knew from another church several years before, and one of my good friends from work, Elsa. I heard the true word of God preached from the pulpit with boldness and conviction, and I have been attending ever since. Throughout my life, God has always been with me through times of great physical, emotional, and spiritual distress. As he says in Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. We stand before you today as a sinner, saved by the grace of God, through the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ. I enter baptism in obedience to our Lord's command, and to commit myself to follow him all the days of my life, God be my helper.
Jeff, you have made your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
As you go to that yoga, you have the Holy Spirit in you. Speak the truth with grace and love, but speak it with boldness. The world needs the light that only we have. The world is in darkness. God in peace today. In Jesus' name, amen.